Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and I'm your host. On this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. Today, I have two guests with me. This is kind of a theme that I've been doing for 2018, having more than one person on the show with me at a time. Today, I'm very excited to have Doug Reed and Greg Riggle with me. So, welcome, guys.
Howdy, howdy.
So, Blueberry recently came out with a new partner relationship, and that just happens to be with Source Audio. So, Doug, you are directly related to Source Audio, and Greg, your relationship is a little more complex. So, how about you guys kind of explain those?
Sure. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, I'm the EVP of what they call Radio and Library Services, and I'm the guy who pretty much pushed the development of the podcastmusic.com program. Mm-hmm. We've been developing this for over a year. And this was basically, we were approached by many of our clients who were getting into podcasting, and they wanted us to come up with a solution that handled really all of the licensing complexities that podcasts were getting into. And we did a bunch of research, talked to a lot of folks there, including you guys. We met you last year at the Podcast Movement, mm-hmm. and came up with what we think is a very strong solution to the licensing issues, basically by bundling all the correct licenses in one transaction and making sure that this is really built for podcasters. This isn't a license that we kind of tack on to a something for PowerPoint presentations and wedding videos or television commercials. This was developed from the ground up for podcasters, so it works the exact way that podcasters need it to work. And what's especially important is that it makes sure that nothing is left out and that there are no gaps in the license that people can come after you down the road and demand all sorts of money from you. And Greg was involved with us at that time and has been intimately involved in consulting with us and developing this entire project.
I spent like 20 plus years inside the performing rights organizations. That's ASCAP, VMI, CSAC, and Sound Exchange, GMR. The societies or the organizations that basically represent the songwriters and publishers, and they have what's called the public performance right. And the interesting thing for me when Source Audio approached me about podcastmusic.com is that for years and years, what people have been led to believe is, quotes, royalty-free music, where they download a piece of music and they think there are no royalties attached. 99% of that stuff that they download actually does have an exclusion for that public performance right. So it really isn't royalty-free. And taking a look at podcasting and being inspired by, you know, how much growth there is in that industry, Doug and I had many, many late-night conversations about the idea that these folks are basically relegated to putting music in podcasts that really isn't going to protect them down the road as they scale audience, as they start to monetize. And we felt like we can come up with a solution. The great thing about Source Audio, Mackenzie, is the idea that when podcasters connect with Source Audio, they're connecting with, you know, the cream of the crop in production music industry. And it's exciting for me because I think people are going to be able to up the quality of their podcasts, and they have the benefit of making business connections with people that are at the top of the game when it comes to production music, when it comes to the public performance and direct licenses with the music publishers that create all this. So it's been a fantastic experience thus far, and we're excited that Blueberry recognized it immediately on the floor of the convention. Where were we, in Anaheim or in?
Yeah.
But we were in Anaheim, our first conversation.
Yeah, so. It was Anaheim. You know, when it was first brought up, I took a bunch of classes on all of this in college, and it had been a while since I'd thought about it, but it's so complicated. And to most people, like you said before, there's that exclusion that they just don't know of and they think they're in the clear. And it's brought up pretty often of people are like, people want to know where to go, and they they need a home for that.
It's, you know, we do this, I guess, on all the Facebook forums and stuff like that. I guess at least twice a week someone's asking, where can I get music? And there are a lot of folks giving suggestions that I guess they think work for them. It's just, and I'm shaking my head when I see that. I go, guys, you got to read that license, because podcasting is now, this is the big switcheroo that's happening right now, is that when podcast was downloads, that's a different license. That's a mechanical license that gives you the right to copy a music track from one hard drive to another. But now you're streaming. You know?
Right.
You know, thanks, Alexa. And comes, you know, here
and
comes
Wi-Fi
the
everywhere.
Connected car and all that stuff. And most podcasts, you know, people are just going to be doing this off the cloud.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, you're now into YouTube territory, and YouTube pays royalties for streaming to ASCAP and BMI and CSAC, and so does Netflix. Streaming is considered a public performance. And a lot of this, you've got to realize, is still in limbo as far as where the legalities, the laws. There's at least four different laws going through Congress right now about copyrights and stuff. So the law is going to be about 10 years behind where the technology is.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that you can't bet in the meantime, you know, what a judge is going to decide down the road if it's going to protect you, because the odds are it might go completely the other way. And the liability could be very intense with these things here.
No, so that's not a risk you want to take.
At hundreds of dollars to get a blanket license a year from ASCAP, and you got to pay the same thing to BMI and something else to CSAC.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly that $20 track you got from a royalty-free library might wind up being extremely expensive. And, and this is something that you have to do every year. And they're also going to nail you for all the back catalog stuff. If you go back, I mean, Greg will tell you what the term is for this, but they'll actually go back from the date when you started recording your podcast. And they're going to say, well, you're going to owe us for all that time that you've been on the air, and you're going to owe us going forward on this. So we just said, oh, the hell with all that stuff here. Let's come up with something nice and simple. You know, you get on there, you find the music you like, you download it, you get a license. Every download you get, bang, your license there. We track it. We know what you're using. We can back you up if you're ever contacted by the PROs.
Mm-hmm.
And it just works. And it's basically, this is what everybody, I think, has been looking for in the industry, but we're actually delivering it, because it really does cover all the bases.
Right. And so we've set up two different options for people to move forward with, and they are subscription or buyout. So depending on how you want to use the tracks and the type of setup that you have for your podcast and what you think you're going to be regularly using, you can go either way, which I also think is very smart, because we've seen a lot of changes in the past, you know, the past couple of years, where people are doing seasons more often, or they'll do a chunk for a couple months and then they'll take a month or two off. And, you know, they want to know how to use this properly for the type of content that they have.
We're very relaxed about it. The subscription model is month to month. You can quit anytime and come back anytime you want. With our discount that we're giving to Blueberry users, it starts at just $9 a month, and that gives you access to over 600,000 tracks.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And there's more coming.
A lot.
It's, we host over 23 million production library tracks on our cloud here. So we're learning as we go as well. And actually, it was in talking to the podcasters that we met at the conventions that we said, you know, we got to have a buyout option too.
Mm-hmm.
So the buyout side of this thing, and not every library is going to be in the buyout side, and not every library that's going to be in the buyout side will wind up on the subscription side. The subscription side is going to be a lot more of the high-end music, where the buyout side is really, that's what you would call the royalty-free transaction. And that's when you just, you know, you find a track you like, there's a one-time fee, you get a license for with the name of your podcast on it, and you can use it in all of your episodes for your podcast forever.
Mm-hmm.
But we are giving you the direct performance license along with that, so which nobody else has been doing. And so this is the way that the royalty-free stuff should be working. Is they give you we give you the direct license, so that makes sure that you can't be tackled by ASCAP and BMI and CSAC down the road. And but I do have to tell you that I think that the subscription side, just as an old radio guy, that's just a lot of fun, because for those of you that will be doing a radio theater or true crime stories or storytelling and stuff, just to be able to dive in there and you get a hold of all this material that was actually, you know, written for some of the serial killer stuff and
with these ideas in mind.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's, have a lot of fun.
Yeah. And
for me, I mean, I have been, you know, my input has been largely, you know, related to the licensing offer and, you know, the license that the music publisher makes available and the grants of authorization to the podcaster. That's all pretty boring, complex stuff. But for me, the exciting part is, you know, the number of sound design tracks available and and how it will just, it's just going to let podcasters unleash their creativity. I mean, when we were recently at one of the conventions, I think in Florida, I was telling a guy about podcastmusic.com and I said, you know, you guys are doing a horror audio theater type, audio drama type presentation. I said, you know, you can get in there and there are thousands and thousands of sound design tracks, and I think you can really sweeten the listener experience. And he looked at me and he said, do you have polar bears? And I was kind of taken aback. So I said, you know, if anybody does, we do.
Right.
Let me find out. So I run over to Doug and I said, Doug, do we have polar bears? We had polar bears.
Crazy to think about, but necessary.
It was a great exchange because I you know, essentially went into sales mode and I said, will you subscribe if I can get you the polar bears that you need? And he said, absolutely. So went to Doug and Doug says, we got polar bears.
There
and
you
so,
go.
You know, we did the deal on the conference floor.
What would we be laughing about? There were like 8 different tracks and they were getting closer and closer to the polar bear and then they stopped. And we that's when the polar bear got the sound guy.
Yeah. Doug says, you know, there's a limited number of tracks here. These are dangerous to get.
Take your pick. There's at least, you know, we'll find you something.
It illustrates, you know, how cool the platform is and you know, how it can be used creatively.
I had a great time going through it. There's a couple days ago.
You can get lost in it, yeah.
You gave us early access and we were testing it and I was sitting with all of my coworkers and we were just going, we went through this for like a half hour of listening to these, you know, 30-second things. And we would be like, oh, okay, so that's when you transition into like the happy, let's describe what just happened story. That's when something bad just happened. This is like, okay, this is a creepy scenario. And we were like, trying to figure out everything that it would work for. And it was a lot of fun.
It does get the creative juices flowing. Mm-hmm. Because I really think podcasting is really going to, you know, bring back the whole radio theater, the theater of the mind stuff.
And I really think so.
The audiobooks now coming back in popularity. And this is just one more, tool in your toolbox. I mean, to make your stuff sound good and make people want to listen to it. And so it goes beyond just getting one piece of theme music. I hope people will take advantage of playing around with it, especially if you're doing something, you know, like holiday music, you know, Cinco de Mayo's coming up. You know, we just got over with Easter, but obviously you've got all the 4th of July and the patriotic holidays coming. Well, we've got a ton of all that stuff. And of course, when Halloween and Christmas roll around, depending on how you might be theming your solution, you know, what you're doing for your episodes around that time there, you know, just hop on there, you know, drop $10 and get access to tens of thousands of tracks to play around with and just experiment. And by the same time, if you want to then go over to the buyout side and just find a theme song that you just want to get and just use permanently.
And know that you're safe with it.
Yeah.
It's also important to point out that for that $10, I mean, you have unlimited access to the catalog. So, and that means unlimited number of downloads while you're a subscriber.
Yes.
That's huge. I mean, that's that really brings home the idea of the value proposition.
So what would you recommend to people if they did go the subscription route and then they no longer wanted to pay the subscription? Like, what would they do to their old episodes? How should they handle that?
Well, if they were not using our music in their old episodes and they just wanted to be safe, or if they just wanted to stop using our music and then maybe jump over to the buyout side. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Well, what happened, or where a license works is once you record your episode and release it, you're covered forever. You never need to go back and change the music out of your episodes. So that license is in perpetuity once you release the episode. And every month when you pay your fee, basically, is then everything that you record that month, whether it's one podcast episode or 30 podcast episodes, if you're doing it daily, if you're nuts enough to do something like that, that's all completely covered under this. So you never have to worry about, again, this is what our research showed, going back in and having to swap out stuff. You're not stuck. So you can jump, stop, for example, let's say you want to jump in there and you do some Christmas stuff. January rolls around, you stop, you jump over to the buyout side and you just get one track and you use that for a while. And then it's 4th of July and you can jump back into the prescription, the subscription side and use, you know, some patriotic stuff. There are lots of ways you can do it, but we cover you every step of the way on this. And I think that that's, you know, we're very upfront about it. The license is very, very simple because the way we're doing this is that, you know, and we may have other licensing opportunities and stuff, you know, depending on what our feedback from folks are, is that each time we have a new type of license, we actually try to develop a website just for that, you know, those needs. So rather than going to one website and then you've got to go through a 10-page license to figure out if it covers you, you know, you basically find the website that has, that works the way, you know, that this is the way you want to use your music, and you just stick with that. And then when you're done, you can play around and go elsewhere. So it's been a lot of fun so far and very exciting. We're getting a tremendous response from it. I mean, obviously, you know, our big clients include some of the big radio networks that are out there. We've got some of the major podcasting networks are also looking at this and experimenting with it as well. And now, of course, we're dealing with, you know, with Blueberry as the first hosting service to team up with us on this and do what I really think is going to become. And this is the year, I think, when you're going to start seeing, you know, those poor guys that are out there that just don't quite get it, that you can't use pop music, even if you think you have, I can use it for 10 seconds or 30 seconds or something. That is absolutely not true. You know, the takedown notices start to come out. And one of these days, one of these poor guys is going to be set an example. They're going to basically do what they did when all of the video file or the audio file sharing back in the mid-2000s was going on. They're going to pick a couple of guys and they're going to take them to court and they're going to get judgments of hundreds of thousands of dollars against them. Not that they'll ever collect, but they want the newspapers in the trades to cover the fact that, you know,
they're being serious.
They're very serious about this and to knock it off. And just don't be those guys, because that's going to happen.
Even if you don't become the target of you know, some kind of copyright infringement lawsuit, or, you know, if you're asked to enter into a negotiation for, you know, a substantial amount of money based on the public performance right that you used and didn't have permissions for, there's another issue that I think is really important for people to consider, and that is that at this price point, at a $9 a month subscription, essentially what you're doing is you're giving yourself the opportunity to grow by virtue of the fact that the services that are with big audience that are going to be picking up your podcast, they know that the music inside it is pre-cleared and it, it won't therefore represent a chilling effect. You know, because we've seen in the past the larger services with a lot of audience, you know, they're reluctant to take certain podcasts based on their use. And, you know, we've even recently seen someone in their terms of service basically say, you indemnify us, you are promising us that you have made all the arrangements, including the performing rights, and you won't get on otherwise. And so, you know, the services are starting to pick up on the idea that the performing rights organizations, basically, they work on a follow the dollar approach.
They have to.
In their licensing efforts. Right. So, you know, the larger the audience, the larger the dollars for licensing fees, and they'll be coming to those folks first. And, you know, if you, unfortunately, if you have used what you thought was royalty-free music in your podcast and they're sitting on those servers, you represent a liability to those folks when ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC come for a license agreement, so...
I was just talking to we've been doing a couple blog posts about radio in preparation for NAB up on the PowerPress Podcast website. And the latest one that we had was getting, like, having a radio station possibly buy out a podcast, like buy the rights to it, and, you know, either bring the host along or get a new host or something like that. And in deals like that, this is the exact type of stuff that they want to know. If they're taking over, they want to know if they're in the clear. And, you know, and then later that day, I was talking to one of the larger networks that we have on Blueberry. You know, he has about a dozen or so shows, and they're all doing very well. And he is bringing on shows that already exist as part of the network, too. And those are the types of questions that he is asking the people involved of, you know, what do we need to worry about? What do we need to change? Are we in the clear for such and such? So this takes care of it.
Yeah, I have to emphasize, too, that we're a hosting platform so that, you know, right now we're keeping it fairly tight, working with libraries that we know really, really well, and we can move quickly in case we need to make adjustments to the license. But, you know, we host a lot of libraries, you know, over 4,000 of them, and including a lot of the royalty-free libraries that we're talking about right now. So what we're hoping to establish our license, what we call a smart license for podcasting, is kind of an industry standard. And, you know, hopefully by the end of this year, we really want to open the floodgates up and invite, you know, not just the aggregated service and the buyout stuff that we're designing right now, but pretty much any library that's out there that wants to get into podcasting and do it correctly can use our platform and use our license to make themselves available to podcasters. And the podcasters can then, you know, feel, you know, that there's kind of a safe harbor out there, that there's no weirdness in the license. Is not going to change from library to library the way it does now. There's going to be kind of a standardized way that this is done. It's designed for podcasting. Mm-hmm. And one thing, you know, I really got to emphasize, too, is that the quality of the stuff that's on our site right now is just tremendous. I mean, this is really some of the top stuff that's out there, and great libraries. You know, this is really the stuff that the trailer guys, the cable television shows, that this is, you know, really what they go after. This is not the type of stuff that you would normally find in the royalty-free community. And, you know, our platform also is, we consider probably the best and the most sophisticated search engine out there for audio. And in fact, there's one thing that's kind of fun about this, that I'm actually going to be doing a kind of a how-to video that's going to get into some of the little bits of technology we have here. But we have a thing in our search engine which we call Sonic Search. And a lot of folks are out there, of course, everyone is used to searching through metadata. You punch in keywords, you have filters and things like that you can go to. Well, Sonic Search is built into our site. And what you can do is you can kind of drop down on the search box and you'll see it located there. And what Sonic Search lets you do is that lets you upload an MP3, a music track off your hard drive or from YouTube, or even a track that is within the body of the podcast music site there, and the computer will do a search based on the actual audio waveform. So it does kind of a three-dimensional snapshot of this and then goes through and tries to find matching waveforms, the things that actually sound like what the original track looks like. And depending on the type of music you pick, you can get some, you know, pretty interesting selections out of that here. It works best with really rhythmic material there. But it's a lot of fun to play around with that. And you always are finding people, how do I find something that sounds like X piece of music? Well, this is just one more tool that we let you play around with here, that you can actually upload that song. And, you know, what I would recommend is we have handles. So when you upload, you can look at the WAV file and really select the groove that you're going after, and then let the computer play around with it and see if they can find something matching in the 600,000 tracks we have there.
That sounds like I would get
down
a huge, enjoyable rabbit hole and sit there for hours just skipping music. It reminds me of a weird, better combination of, like, those apps that you have where you can hum something because you don't know the words, you don't, like, but you want to know the song, and then Shazam. It's like that.
Which is actually the name of the application.
Yes. So it,
Mackenzie, you mentioned
great
radio. What's your vision for podcasting on terrestrial radio stations? I'm curious because use of this platform, use of podcastmusic.com, and the podcasting license, I think it's going to have some very advantageous results when podcasters start to discuss being on at 11 p.m. on an all-talk station in Cleveland.
Yep.
Do you guys feel like that's one place podcasting is going to move, is actually on-air terrestrial radio stations?
So a little bit of yes and no. Mm-hmm. I am curious about if stations are going to be creating their own podcasting content, or
right,
if they're just going to be more interested in taking something that already exists, or taking people that, you know, they know how to do this and kind of contracting them in and just letting them broadcast, like syndicate on their stations.
That's a terrific idea, by the way. I've actually been talking to a few folks about that, you know, even before we started having our conversations. Mm-hmm. Because especially, you know, podcasting gives radio a chance to go local again. Because yes, right now everything's being run on the on-air stuff. It's just, that's a computer, yep, sitting in a closet. But to be able to become kind of a local hub and to, you know, do get podcasters that maybe are doing local restaurant reviews, mm-hmm, or, you know, local bands and stuff like that. And we can help them making sure that, you know, they can actually broadcast the music correctly and make sure they get the right licenses with that. And really just get into the music discovery business, but really to, you know, establish, and I think Todd's talked about this too in some of his articles, really go back to radio's roots, which is, this is what's happening, you know, within 25, 50 miles of you.
Right.
And you're not just hearing just, you know, the same national stuff being piped over the airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
When, and what's advantageous to the podcaster that will be using podcastmusic.com is the idea that most all radio stations have a relationship for the public performance of music by virtue of their blanket licenses.
Oh, yeah.
With ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC. But what you see in some of these stations, that smaller market stations or stations that have a primarily talk format, or what they used to call a full service format, where they have a lot of different programming, but not necessarily music intensive. What you see is that they typically have a license with ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC called a per program. And what that means is that they're actually tracking their music use, and their fee goes up and down based on the amount of music that's used on air.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come to them with your podcast, and if they happen to be licensed by ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC by a per program agreement, you basically don't represent any upcharge or any more expense for them to air your program, because all your music in your podcast is pre-cleared, and it circumvents the need for a fee to be paid to ASCAP, BMI, or CSAC.
So which is basically the goal.
It's a good thing. I think we talked to Mark Ramsey a lot, and he's been, you know, he's super connected in the radio space, mm-hmm, and digital as well. And he's one of the people that's been stumping for this idea that every local station should have, you know, a schedule of podcasts that they air sometime during the week.
You know, just in general,
yep,
they radio stations, if they want to survive, are going to have to, based on the demographics of who listens to podcasts and who listens to radio.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And the listener engagement.
And yes, they're aware of that too. I mean, don't, yeah, you know, yeah, but I think it's great to be able to, that Bluebird is getting in there and offering to hold their hand and really show them the ropes of how to do this correctly with some really good ideas. You know, one of the other things, you know, this literally that I, speaking of record labels, mm-hmm, that I just added this, and this is actually available on Blueberry's site right now. We just trotted out our first independent record label as part of the podcast music offering called Blue Canoe. And it's just 400 tracks, but it's from a variety of different independent. I mean, this is our record label. This isn't production music. This is actual real albums and by real artists. Mm-hmm. And yes, you can license the music either by subscription or by buyout. But what's going to be real fun, and what I'm very excited about, is that we're going to have the ability for those of you who are doing music podcasts to be able to contact the record label directly through the website and to arrange interviews with these up-and-coming artists, because they've got a lot of, you know, urban guys, a lot of jazz guys, and this is the first of many. This is where I think this is going to get really interesting in the podcast space, because everybody's always asking, well, I want to, you know, why can't I play pop music? Why can't I do a retrospective of surf rock and stuff? And we're working on that. And we're starting with the independent labels. And Greg's got a lot of contacts in that area. And we're working with some of our radio buddies, too, to kind of say, well, we're not going to get the top 40 guys right now, but there's a tremendous back catalog of material that's not making it on the air anymore. And we're going to see if we can make that available to podcasters, as well as do the added value for those, you know, for these artists that, you know, are probably still touring, because that's the only way they can make money these days.
Yeah.
Get them on the air for podcasts, you know, let the guys talk about what they're doing. And, you know, again, going back to the whole idea of music discovery. So keep your eye on this space here. I think this is going to get real interesting, because there's a lot of, you know, we're having a lot of contact right now. And again, if you pop over to the sites over at podcastmusic.blueberry.com, take a look at Blue Canoe Records and give them a listen, because there's some interesting stuff there, and there are more labels coming, as well as a lot more production library music as well.
You know, I used to work in college radio, and that sounds exactly like something that we would do. I worked with all the record labels and the PR companies for the artists that they would send us, because I was music director, and I would choose out of everything that they sent us what we would put on the air. And that sounds just like something that we would have done to get access to these people in a different way than normal.
Yeah, so. It's funny. You mentioned the complexity of music licensing at the beginning of the podcast. And the reality of it is that what most people don't understand about the music industry is that a lot of that complexity is manufactured, you know, because the reality of it is that there are a lot of middlemen charged with the responsibility of helping artists, helping labels, helping music publishers earn income. And so one of the primary reasons that this is so difficult to get the licensing that enables you to have future feature music inside a podcast is the idea that people don't know who to call. They don't.
No.
They have no connection.
It's terrible.
And what's great about podcastmusic.com and Source Audio is that, you know, they have long-standing relationships with the industry at large. So when you're a subscriber, you're effectively three or four phone calls away from a decision maker on granting you a license to use that music in a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, and by virtue of the software as a service aspect of the platform, we've already provided the transactional licensing database that you need in order to receive the license. So we're making the connections. And what I was talking to somebody the other day, and they didn't recognize that the production music industry, the music publishers inside the production music industry, are typically many of the same major music publishers that grant licenses for this feature music. So the connections will be made over time, and we're excited about it, because we think that we've provided a solution, and people won't have to any longer throw up their hands and say, I'm not going to spend a day on the telephone trying to find 50% of the permissions that I need to play 30 seconds of Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
So in the future, we're going to give podcasters the ability to make those connections. Whether or not they'll be able to negotiate the license, maybe, maybe not. But the reality is that the reason that people don't have permissions is because the music publisher doesn't know who to go to, and the podcaster doesn't know who to go to. So there's no transaction there. So it's the future looks really bright for direct licensing, which is, you know, we're not anti-performing rights organization. We just believe that when you make a direct license with the music publisher, that's good for your business long term.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lot of other industries. It's, you know, relationships are key.
They'll take you very far.
Yep.
Which, you know, basically all we're looking for is that, you know, we are open to ideas too. And I think that our relationship that we've been meeting all these folks at the conventions and on the boards and stuff like that has been great for us because we get good ideas from mm-hmm. the community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, don't be shy, folks. I mean, this is, you know, we're playing this tight to the vest right now, but this is deliberate so we can be kind of nimble in our offering here. And if you hear or see something or you come up with an idea that's not being covered yet, reach out to us. You know, one of the things that has come up is YouTube, which is the Wild West right now as far as licensing. Now, our license for the moment for everybody that's in the subscription side gives you the rights to simulcast your podcast in YouTube and maybe do some promos and stuff like that. But we don't include the rights, for example, to do vlogs, and because that's a whole nother area of you know, actual custom video production. But, you know, that's going to become an issue down the road here. I mean, a lot of guys are, you know, really starting to look at video as, you know, a heavy-duty companion piece to podcasting. Well, how do we handle this? You know, what type of licensing do we need? And what can I go to my clients over in the music side of the bill and kind of say, okay, we know that some podcasters are looking to do video and they're going to need certain rights here. Which one of you folks are interested in providing those rights here? And we can put together a package that can deal with it. But, you know, we know this is a space that's changing quickly, and we're going to be changing right along with it and hopefully keeping pace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're excited to, you know, get people on board with this. Today, this episode is going out Monday, April 9th. So the four of us are technically in Las Vegas at this point for NAB. So we're going to be telling lots of people about this.
All right.
All right.
Well, Mackenzie, thank you very, very much for having us on board.
Yes.
And, you know, thanks to the guys at Blueberry for giving us this great chance to work with you. We're really excited. And I think this is going to, you know, do some really interesting things. And for those of you who are on the Blueberry platform, please check us out and give us some feedback and happy podcasting.
Yes.
I'm hoping we can help you guys out. You can reach all of us at contact@podcastmusic.com. And there is actually a tab on the website so that you can click and get right in touch with us.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for sharing, and stick around for the PowerPress tip, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. Thanks, everyone.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks.
This is Sean Thorpe from the Blueberry support team with this week's PowerPress tip. It's a good idea to make sure your media files have proper ID3 tags. Many podcasters add these tags as the final step before uploading their files to the internet. But you can potentially skip that last step if you're using PowerPress in conjunction with Blueberry Media Hosting. To make this work, you'll need to log in to the dashboard of either your WordPress site or your Blueberry PowerPress site and hover over the PowerPress link in the left-hand sidebar, then select MP3 tags in the pop-up menu. On the next screen, check the box next to Write Tags at the top of the page and configure the following options however you'd like. The title tag will take the title of the blog post that you created for a specific episode and use it as the title in your media files ID3 tags. This option cannot be changed. Artist tag uses the information you've entered into the talent name field of the PowerPress Feeds tab. If you'd like the artist tag to display something different, select the Specify option and enter whatever you'd like into that field. You can follow the same method for the album, genre, year, track, composer, and copyright and URL tags. The last MP3 option is the cover art tag. If you're using episode-specific artwork for your media files, leave this set to Do Not Add a Cover Art Image. If you'd like a single specific image to be used in the ID3 tags of all of your media files, click the option that shows only a blank field and then copy and paste the URL to your desired image file into that blank field. There's also a handy link you can click if you'd just like to use the artwork file that is currently set as your show's iTunes artwork. There's also a handy link you can click if you would just like to use the artwork that is currently set as your show's overall iTunes artwork. When you have everything set the way you want, click the Save Changes button at the bottom of the page. And that's it for this week's PowerPress tip. If you have any questions about this or anything else in the Blueberry universe, email me, Sean@blueberry.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.